201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. We'll be joined by Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus in just a moment here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And you know, we talk a lot about the Giants, and Pro Football Focus does such a good job of breaking down all the X's and O's. They look at all the game tape, and it's really great insight that you can't get anywhere else. And now we are joined by Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus, one of their senior analysts. Sam, welcome from across the Atlantic. How you doing this morning?
Thank you, Sarah. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great in New York. And finally, we can talk about some action on the football field, Sam. I know you guys crave it. We crave it. Teams reporting today and tomorrow for training camp. Everyone else is focusing on press conferences and deflated footballs. Let's focus on what's going on with the X's and O's here. Start with Jason Pierre-Paul. Obviously, nobody knows what he's going to be able to contribute this year, Sam. How are the Giants, and will it be more difficult for the Giants, to replace his pass rush or replace his ability to stop the run? And who do you suspect on this roster will be the guys they look to do just that?
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. He's never become the truly elite pass rusher that I think everyone wanted him to be, and everyone thought he could be with the kind of physical tools he has. But he is a truly elite run stopper as a defensive end, and he is an elite player. You know, whether he's not the top-level pass rusher or not, he's a real high-level guy, and no matter what way you cut it, he's a huge loss for them. But the good news is, you know, they've drafted guys, like a guy like Odighizuwa, and have guys on the roster that can potentially at least try and fit into that void. And I think a big key is going to be whether Robert Ayers can replicate the kind of season he had a year ago, when Ayers is seen as this kind of, you know, typical first-round bust, but he's actually become a pretty good player if you look at what he's been doing when he's been on the field. He never got the big sack numbers that everyone wants out of that first-round pick, but if you look at what he did last year, he was pass-rushing extremely well. He got a lot of pressure. He just didn't get the sacks. You know, 5 sacks, but he got 12 knockdowns, 29 additional pressures. And there's a guy who only rushed the passer 250 times last year. So if he can replicate the kind of season he had last year on more snaps and more of a full-time role, that would go a long way to replacing what JPP brings.
Now, Sam, how about real quickly, JPP's work against the run. You guys graded him out as one of the better defensive ends against the run last year. How are the Giants going to go about trying to replace his strengths in that area?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Like you say, that's what he's best at. But I think a guy like Odighizuwa is really, he's quite like a JPP clone. He's a guy that could potentially step in and do that kind of role. You know, he's obviously not going to be as good straight out of the gate as a rookie, but he's that kind of player. So I think in theory, he's a perfect fit, a perfect guy to step in and replace that. The question is going to be, how quickly can he get up to speed and how quickly can he start playing to something like his potential?
Sam, one other guy that jumps out from a statistical standpoint last year on the defensive line is Jonathan Hankins, a two-way player similar to JPP, very good at stopping the run, clogging the lanes, but also I think surprised a lot of people with his ability to get to the quarterback, finishing with 7 sacks. He's still very young. There's a lot of upside. Was this basically an indication of what you think he can do moving forward in terms of getting to the quarterback, or is this maybe a fluky stat to really focus in on?
I think there was more than the sacks. You know, while a guy like Robert Ayers, you know, when he got 5 sacks but had a lot of pressure, Hankins also got a lot of pressure along with those sacks. So he also played a lot last year. He had 700 snaps is quite a healthy amount for a defensive tackle. It's among the higher figures in the NFL. So, and he graded very well the year before and limited snaps. So I think you know you're going to get an extremely good run defender. The question is going to be, can he repeat that pass rushing performance? But it was consistent all last year. It wasn't just one or two games that he blew up in. He had a couple of strong games, but all the way through the year he was generating pressure. So I don't see anything from last year to say that he won't replicate it. I think you're looking at a guy who can play both ways, can play against the run and play against the pass and be very good at it.
Now, Sam, one defensive lineman we haven't mentioned so far is DeMontre Moore. He's coming off a shoulder surgery. He's coming into his third year, the year where it's oftentimes is a make-or-break year for a defensive player. He did not have a ton of snaps his first 2 years in the league. Can DeMontre Moore explode here as a pass rusher? Is his run defense holding him back that much? What's your guys' impressions of him as a player right now?
Yeah, I think it's asking a lot for him to explode in any capacity, really. His career obviously isn't that many snaps old from what we've seen, but we haven't really seen anything to shout home about. There's not been a huge amount of production either way. He did get a few sacks last year, but he rushed the passer quite a lot and didn't get that much pressure. He graded slightly above average for us. So for a guy who you're looking at as a kind of pass rushing specialist, you'd like to see a bit more. Maybe, you know, another year removed from all the injuries, we can see him take another step forward. And if he does, he could kind of progress into the realms of good or better. But it's a bit of a leap at this point to be expecting it, I think.
Talking with Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. One other player on defense that had a knack for getting to the quarterback, who also is very versatile, was Devon Kennard last year, Sam. And you look at the linebacking crew this year for the Giants, you know, they're hoping John Beeson stays healthy in the middle. But, you know, both of those outside jobs, I think there's some open competition. Kennard stands out to me. What was your takeaway in limited opportunities last year, and how much upside does he have heading into year two with a new defensive coordinator?
Yeah, he's the guy I think you have to be rooting for to win one of those jobs. He's a guy that definitely showed something in limited snaps. He played 338 snaps last year, but when he came in, he started he was getting, you know, full-time rota worth of snaps, and that's when he was really playing well. All of his best games came in that series of games towards the end of the year where he was starting. And like you said, he did show that he'd get after the passer. He got a three-game block where he got five sacks. We also got some pressure there, and he was playing the run well as well. So I think he's the guy that, with all the problems the Giants have had in that linebacking core over the past few years, you've got to be rooting for him to win a starting job and to show what he can do in a real full-time role.
Well, Sam, let's jump to safety here. And one great thing you guys have done this year is expand yourselves to college football. So you have a pretty good feel for what their two rookies might be able to do, Landon Collins and Michael Thompson. You have a couple other young guys, Nat Burhey, Cooper Taylor. They brought in a couple of veterans, Gordy and Miles as well. What do you think, when all is said and done, is going to be the best starting combination for the Giants at safety, where they can get some help against the run, but also have somebody back there that can play some single high and go sideline to sideline, take good angles, and help against the pass?
I love Landon Collins. I think he's a guy that can do it all at safety. He was extremely versatile for Alabama last year. He showed he could play as a kind of, you know, a two high safety, play the run, play the pass, do well in coverage. He also showed that he could come down, cover tight ends in the slot in that kind of man coverage way that, you know, the Giants have done with Antrell Roll in the past, and that a lot of teams in the NFL nowadays have to be able to do. You need to be able to match up with those tight ends one-on-one down the seam or even underneath. But he also showed the ability to be able to wheel and to be able to cover as a single high guy. It's not what he's best at. He's not Earl Thomas, but it's something that he can do. And I think, to an extent, he was kind of unfairly labeled as a guy who couldn't do that. He was a guy who isn't suited for that kind of deep cover draw. And I don't think that's quite true. I think he does have the ability to do it. It's just not his kind of what he's best at. So I think he's definitely one of your guys, and he's going to be the kind of linchpin there. And then I think it's just going to be a case of seeing if anyone stands out, you know, if anyone really has a good camp and wins that job. I think that's genuinely one of those jobs in the NFL that's up for grabs. It's up for a guy who has an outstanding training camp to win.
Sam, because of the two young safeties that the Giants are going to throw out this season, you could argue that they're going to have to rely heavily on two veteran corners in Prince Mukamara and DRC. Behind those two, obviously there's some question marks, whether it be in the slot or whether it be players that could fill in for DRC and Prince in the event that, obviously, the Giants suffer an injury. How would you assess the depth chart when it comes to the Giants' cornerbacks heading into this season?
Yeah, I think you summed it up there. It's definitely thin. The top two guys are pretty good. You don't have any concerns there. If either one of those guys gets injured, or even when you have to go to nickel, there are way more question marks, and you're looking at a few guys there, and you're not sure if anyone's going to really be able to hold up over the course of the season, especially if they get thrown into the starting lineup with an injury. You know, Tremaine McBride is a guy that's shown some ability in the past, and he's a guy I think should win that third role. I think he's the best guy there amongst the backups. Maybe a guy like Zachary Bowman has shown stuff in the past. But I think you've got to look at McBride as the best guy there and worry about the depth. You know, in the NFL, I think when you get deeper into the season, it's the healthy teams that tend to be able to put a run together and go, you know, going deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The teams that suffer injuries have to go down that depth yard. They have to end up relying on some of these depth guys that just aren't able to cut it. And the Giants there, especially in the secondary, I think are one of those teams that they're going to need to stay healthy.
We're joined by Sam Monson, senior analyst, Pro Football Focus. Sam, I want to touch on the offense now. We know about all the weapons, but in order for those weapons to be used effectively, you have to have protection up front. Will Beatty was your guy's best graded Giants offensive lineman last year. He's out for the first couple months of the year. Jeff Schwartz was your only other Giants offensive lineman that graded out positively. However, a lot of position switches this year. Pugh's moving inside. Richburg's moving to his natural position at center. But you can have a rookie now at tackle. Newhouse at right tackle. Flowers on the left side. How do you assess the Giants offensive line and all the movement and changes we're going to see this year? Do you think they're going to be able to improve off their 2014 performance?
Yeah, it's such a situation of flux right now. We just don't know what we're going to see. You know, Will Beatty is a big loss, and you know, for the amount of time he's going to be out, it's a really tough ask to expect Eric Flowers to come in and play left tackle and play left tackle well for as long as Beatty is sitting out. If it's, you know, into November, if it's the full season, it's a really tough ask. And I think perhaps the bigger problem is what that does to the rest of the offensive line, is that it's asking all these other pieces to start moving around as well. So a guy like Marshall Newhouse, who, you know, at best has been a struggling journeyman at tackle, and we're going to see him again at that spot. And Schwartz is a guy who I think does have really good ability, really big talent, but there's just so many injuries in his history now that we don't know if we're ever going to see that guy again, you know. I think that there's talent on that line, but we're just seeing every single person moving around and being sort of thrown into a situation with major question marks there. It's tough to see how that line can be productive early. And if it doesn't, I think we're going to see the kind of struggling Eli Manning that we've seen in the past when the offensive line has really let him down. And that's going to be the issue for the Giants, is can they get that line functioning? And if they can, how long is it going to take? You know, will the season be over and done with by the time those guys start being able to protect as well as they need them to?
Sam, you alluded to the fact, obviously, whenever you put a left tackle who's a rookie out there, there are going to be concerns, and Eric Flowers is now going to join an offensive line that I thought improved in pass protection last season, but, you know, the numbers don't lie. The running game was very up and down. You know, what is the bigger concern, you think, when you have a rookie at left tackle? Pass protection or perhaps establishing a consistent running game?
I think left tackle seems to be the spot where those tackles struggle the most. If you look at the performance of the top first-round tackles over the past few years, they've almost universally struggled. The only guy that's actually played well at left tackle in year one is Matt Khalil for the Vikings. And, you know, he's kind of fallen off in recent years. But as a rookie, he's the one guy that was able to go out there and hold his own and do pretty well. Almost everybody else over the past half dozen years has just been a disaster. And I think part of it is because most teams will still line up that best pass rushing guy at the right side of their defense in the left tackle spot. So automatically that left tackle is facing most of the top level pass rushers. You know, there are teams out there like the Dolphins that have their best guy on the other side of the field. But by and large, those left tackles are the guys facing the murderer's row of pass rushers. So I think that's always going to be the biggest concern. And then I think you just reach a point where those guys are struggling so much over the season that everything goes away. You know, whether they are comfortable to begin with as a run blocker, they're just so spooked by the beating they're getting week in, week out, that the whole thing falls to pieces.
Joined by Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. Do you expect an uptick in performance real quickly on the offensive line? One more, Sam, from Richburg moving to his natural position and Pugh moving inside?
I certainly do from Richburg. I think like you said, it's his natural position. He should be better at center. Pugh at guard is interesting. I thought he was okay at tackle. I'm not sure if he's going to be better at guard, especially flipping sides of the offensive line as well. It's interesting. It's such a chaotic thing that everybody is moving spots. And if nothing else, there's no continuity there, which I think on the offensive line is a fairly major deal when you're shuffling so many pieces. But I think over the long stretch, it's possibly the best situation for those two guys. And I think by the end of the year, they'll be playing better there.
Sam, one other question in terms of the offensive line, and I think the tight end is a big part of protection as well as the receiving game as we saw last season. Because, you know, when you evaluate the personnel around Eli Manning, you know what you're going to get out of Odell Beckham. Victor Cruz, we're hoping, obviously, is going to be fully healthy. The running backs have stayed consistent. They've added some versatility. Dinell was a bright spot, a pleasant surprise last year, considering the Giants have had a great deal of turnaround at tight end year in and year out. Similar to what we were alluding to with respect to some of the defensive linemen like Jonathan Hankins, is this a sign of what's yet to come for Larry Dinell, and what is the main area that he needs to continue to show signs of improvement upon?
Yeah, I think we saw a lot of encouraging signs from Dinell. We saw him as a good player, as a good weapon, as a receiver, a good option in the passing attack, and he blocked pretty well as a pass protector when they asked him to do it, which wasn't that often. He only pass protected 50-odd times in the season, which, you know, for a team that's going to play 1,100 snaps, it's not a huge amount. His real main weakness last year was as a run blocker. And, you know, tight ends in today's NFL, run blocking is kind of optional. You know, there's a lot of teams have tight ends.
That's a polite way to put it.
There's a lot of teams that have tight ends. They're elite weapons as pass receivers. And it just doesn't matter that they don't run block. You think of Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham, but the best tight end in the NFL is Rob Gronkowski, and Rob Gronkowski run blocks. The thing that separates the real best out there is that they're still able to be a force against in the run game. And so far, Dinell hasn't been able to do that. So I think if he really wants to be one of the best guys out there, he's got to keep doing what he's doing as a pass protector, improve a little bit as a receiver, and then really work on that run blocking, because that's one of those spots that can really help an offense out, is, you know, irrespective of the offensive line, is getting that tight end to execute his blocks.
Sam, overall offense here, with the addition of Ben McAdoo now in his second year, Odell Beckham going into his second year, Victor Cruz looking healthy, we'll see. Reuben Randall, by our eyes and by your grades, took some big steps in his third year. How good can this passing attack be? Are we looking at potentially, again, we don't know about the offensive line, but could this be one of the top passing attacks and overall offenses in the NFL this year if that offensive line can come together?
There really is a lot to like. You know, you run down that list of weapons, there's a lot of players there, even guys like Daniel Fells as a second tight end. There's some running backs there. There are guys to like. Andre Williams has a lot of talent. You know, there's guys there that have got the ability to make big plays. And Eli Manning has shown in the past, when that offensive line has protected him, and even at times when it hasn't protected him, he's able to get it done. He's able to really exploit top-level weapons. So I think it really does come down to how quickly they can get that offensive line functioning. You know, I think early there's going to be some growing pains because there's just too many moving parts, too many guys in unfamiliar positions. But if they can get it functioning in a couple of weeks, if they can get it, you know, working well by the time October rolls around, then maybe we're going to start to see some fireworks.
Sam, final question. Just in terms of the larger environment in the NFC East, where do you see the Giants fitting in when all is said and done this year? Understanding that making any type of prediction on July 29th is foolhardy.
I think it's going to be similar to last year, but that's always a bad idea when you look at the NFL. It rarely stays the same one year to the next. But they look to me to be the third best team on paper in that division, behind Philadelphia and Dallas. But like you say, who knows what things look like when the season actually rolls around.
All right, Sam, very quickly before we say goodbye, give the fans out there, if they're interested in Pro Football Focus, what you guys do, what products you're making available to the public this year, where they can go to find it, and what you guys do for them.
Yes, sir. We've got some changes coming, but profootballfocus.com is where you can go. We grade every single player and every single play in the NFL and college now, and college in the FBS. The changes are going to be coming out soon, but stay tuned to profootballfocus.com. You'll see everything as it happens.
Oh, that's what you call a tease in the business, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we are proud to have Pro Football Focus as a very large contributor to what we do here at the Giants. We respect what you guys do. And, Sam, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again down the road, all right?
Thanks so much, Sam.
Anytime.